Cavan O'Neill from Belfast is like most 3-year-olds. He loves cartoons, bikes and is fascinated by cars, but he suffers from a condition that affects his legs and stops him from walking. Last year, his parents started fundraising in order to raise enough money to cover the cost of some pioneering surgery in America that will help, hopefully, him walk. I've been speaking to his mum, Emma, who told me about Cavan.
Cavan was born 6 weeks early and everything went really well. The labour was textbook and we had no problems whatsoever. And then everything was fine until he hit about 1 year old and we realised he wasn't reaching his gross motor milestones, you know, like sitting upright or crawling or taking his first steps or even standing. So we had a few trips to the GP to express our concerns and they weren't that worried. They thought he'd get there because he was a premature baby, but he never did. And then it took a trip to A&E after he had a viral infection for a paediatric consultant to refer him for a brain scan, which then revealed at 18 months that he had damage to the brain in keeping with cerebral palsy. And we then realised it was just affecting his legs. As he got older, we realised that intellectually and in every other way, he was just like every other child. It was just his legs.
So as a mum, when someone says to you that there's possible brain damage to your baby, like how do you process that? How do you come to terms with that?
I felt sick. I remember in the room looking at him and he was playing on the floor in the doctor's surgery and I just felt so sorry for him. I didn't know what he had ahead of him. It was more him I felt sorry for. I didn't think about me or what we had to do, but he was just sitting playing. I thought he's no idea what he has ahead of him. I was heartbroken for him. I really was. And I just thought I'll do whatever I can to make this as easy as possible for him.
And what does this mean? What restrictions does this put on him? Is it standing altogether? Can he crawl? Because he's 3 years old now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 3 years old. He can crawl. That's how he gets about. That's his mobility indoors. So when we're outside, we're really restricted in what we can do. And there's a lot of carrying him around or, you know, holding him by the waist while he stands up. I mean, parks are a bit of a no-go at the minute unless we just let him crawl around and get the hand gel out and clean him up afterwards. But it makes everything very hard, especially as he's getting older and he wants to do things. And we have to say no.
It must be quite frustrating for obviously for you as a parent, but mm-hmm. for him, 3 year old, we hear about the terrible twos and kids are so active and so, you know, they really are getting into everything, climbing trees, you know, they love going out to play. Mm-hmm. So it must be frustrating for him to want to do that, but not be physically able.
It is. I think the saddest thing I noticed was recently when we were at an indoor play area and there were boys playing football around the same age and I asked him, did he want to play with them? And I would have lifted him up and helped him kick the ball and he wouldn't. So at the minute I'm seeing him starting to put himself on the sidelines, realising that he can't participate in these things, and that's really saddening to see, you know, and because that's not what I always wanted him to participate in everything and never let it get in the way, but it's quite clear that he feels it now. So it's not a nice feeling.
It must feel very, you must feel quite helpless because obviously as a parent you want your kid to be as healthy and have the best life and the best opportunities, and this is something that seems very unfair. You know, he's a toddler now, baby, so it seems very unfair that something like this would happen to him.
I think I've asked myself just once, why him? Why us? It's not fair on him. It's, you know, what has he done to deserve this? But since he's been diagnosed and I've been around, you know, families with children with similar conditions or other conditions, and I realise we're a wee bit blessed. I mean, Cavan is a very smart child. He's very chatty. He will go to mainstream school and he'll live as normal a life as possible. Obviously with those restrictions with walking, but after the operation, hopefully, you know.
So we'll talk about the operation mm-hmm. in a second. Without the operation, what will this mean for Cavan? Will it mean a life in a wheelchair?
Yeah, it would mean a life in a wheelchair. If he acquires any skills whatsoever, whether it's, you know, taking a few steps with a walking frame, eventually, you know, he would lose those because the spasticity in his legs and the tightness would get worse and create deformities, and the pain would become more intense as he grows and gets older, that I think eventually he would be confined to a wheelchair.
And what treatment is there out there for him?
At the minute before the operation?
Yeah.
Well, they offer Botox in the muscles, in the leg muscles, which loosens them and takes away a bit of the tightness. And he's had that already, but as the body becomes used to Botox, so it doesn't have the same effect.
So none of these are long-term fixes.
Never.
So this brings us on to the reason you've been doing all this fundraising, mm-hmm. and you want to take him away to have an operation. Tell mm-hmm. us about that.
I did a lot of research when he was diagnosed, and the operation selective dorsal rhizotomy kept coming up, and I was ignoring it. I thought it was just a clutching of straws procedure that, you know, and I thought I'm not going to go down that route if it's just desperate measures that maybe won't work. But the more I researched it, and then I started to find all these families from all over Ireland and in England who had had it done, and the results were something else. You know, these kids had gone from crawling or not even crawling to walking, some with assistance and a lot without assistance.
So what does it actually involve, this treatment itself? Is it surgical? Is it medication? Is it a combination?
It's a surgery. It's a spinal cord surgery. So they go into the spinal cord and they cut the nerves. The signals from the brain that are misfiring to the legs, those nerves that are creating that tightness, and they will sever them permanently to release him from tightness and pain and reveal the muscle, because at the minute he's not using his leg muscles, he's just constantly fighting that tightness, the spasticity. So that will release that, and then we can work on the muscle and get him walking.
Because obviously when you mention operations on spinal cords and things like that, people, you know, my face recoiled a bit, because you think that's like one of the most dangerous or difficult things for someone to have to go through because of the potential of leaving him completely, you know, permanently disabled.
Mm-hmm. There is a risk. It has never happened with this surgeon in America. He's the pioneer. It has never happened. The risk is there. He's completed over 3,000 in over 20 years.
And will it definitely work? I know there's no guarantees when it comes to surgery, but is there a risk that you go through all this, the fundraising, trying to do what you can for Cavan, and then the outcome isn't what you wished for?
I think the only thing that could come out of this that could be disappointing is maybe we wouldn't get the results that were predicted, which is for him to walk independently in all environments. But at the minute, this doctor has nearly 100% success rate. And I think I don't even think he has any unsuccessful operations.
And how do you explain all this to Cavan? Because, you know, I've two nieces and two nephews mm-hmm. myself, and that, you know, they're all about fun. You know, they just want the excitement, entertainment. You know, they're just buzzing all the time. So how do you explain that to a 3-year-old? Or do you not?
Well, over the past 8 months, I've been explaining to him that all these activities, all these people he's meeting are fundraising to get us to America for him to get an operation that will allow his legs to walk. And you can see he's soaking it up, but he rarely comments on it. There have been like a few people, maybe, you know, it was one of his therapists recently told me that he told her his legs didn't work, but they will soon. So he's taking it in, but he's not commenting. I know.
What
he's
do you
listening.
Think that is? Is he just processing it all? It's a lot to take in for anyone, but, you know, for a 3-year-old.
I don't know. I think it's because he knows he's different. And he doesn't seem to want to talk about it. But I don't know. I don't know. It's strange because he'll talk about everything else.
He sounds like a smart kid for a 3-year-old.
Yes.
He obviously thinks a lot more. When I was that age, I was just all about the madness. But he's got his head screwed on. Will this require further treatment then after this, if it goes ahead and everything works?
Yeah, he'll need a lot of intensive physiotherapy, 1 hour every day for at least 2 years. Which is why we've been fundraising for the aftercare as well, because the NHS at present can only give us one session per week, so we have to subsidise the rest.
And why is that? Is that because this is almost experimental, or it's just not a common thing that's provided here? Why will they not give you the 1 hour a day?
I think it's funding issues, if I'm honest. The NHS did trial the surgery. I think it was from 2014 until October last year, and they are currently processing the results of that surgery to see if they will ever offer it long term. I think the amount of physio that we're offered is purely down to funding and, you know, lack of therapists available.
I know you've mentioned already that, you know, you try and focus on Calvin and what's best for him and not think about yourself, but this must have a huge impact on your life because you're a working mum.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you do that? How do you, have you got another kid?
No, just Calvin.
So how do you work your life around Calvin, who you kind of have to care for constantly?
I'm lucky that I have a job that allows me to work from home. So there's a lot of late nights, very little sleep, and I know this isn't going to be forever. I have to take it in my stride or it would get me down. You know, I have to. I look at other people who have it a lot worse than me, and I do feel very lucky that Calvin is the way he is, and that he is bright. I suppose I have great support from his father, and family and friends, and I just get on with it. You have to just get on with it, and eventually I know there'll come a time when Calvin's at school and he'll have his own wee commitments and friends to see that. You know, I'll miss these days, so I'm enjoying the time I have to spend with them now.
So in the future, you're hoping that if everything goes to plan, and there will be a time where he doesn't need constant treatment or procedures or physio, that he'll just be an independent young boy?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll always need some physio. I think that'll always be the case. The frequency will dramatically decrease, and I imagine, you know, it'll get to a stage when he's at an age he will be disciplined enough to do it himself, and we can incorporate it into maybe sports or swimming or things like that, just to make it easier for him and part of his life.
You mentioned support from other people. You mentioned the fundraising. You've been doing that now for quite some time. What was your target initially?
Our target was 80,000.
Like, that's a crazy amount of money. Like, some people might look at that and say, you know, that's a house. That's a lot of money to try and to generate. Were you daunted by the thought of that beforehand?
I never thought about it. Only now we've reached our target. Do I think if I had ever stopped and thought about the figure, I wouldn't have started. So I just, there's a lot to be said for positive thinking and you know, not letting anything bring you down. So I didn't think of the 80,000. I just thought we can do this. Other people had done it around the UK and in the Republic, and I just thought we can do this.
And is the 80,000, is that going to be enough?
Yes, I think at the minute the new families are raising 85,000, and with, you know, the currency rate and stuff, you know.
Sure.
But our money is still coming in, so I think at present we're sitting at about, I would say, about 82, 83. I have to get a final balance from the charity. So yes, I think it will be enough.
And then October is the month when the operation. So what's the plan? You'll all fly over and be there for some time.
Yeah, his operation's on the 21st of October, which is exactly 1 year to the day that I started fundraising. That I put the post up on Facebook. We'll go out about 4 days before that, and his final physiotherapy session is on, I think it's the 16th of November. And then we'll fly back then.
You have, I've only just met you, but you have remarkable poise and composure for something that must be such a difficult thing for you to talk about and to be surrounded by every day. And I don't mean Calvin, but I mean the situation that you find yourself in.
There have been tears, you know. There have been days throughout the fundraising, even before that, there's been a lot of tears. And it's all behind closed doors, isn't it? You just never know. But like I said, I feel lucky to have him.
Look, Emma, we wish you and Calvin all the best. And before we finished, he has chickenpox at the minute,
yes.
So he's at home. But you had a little chat with him on our behalf before mm-hmm. you came in. Have a listen to this.
When you go to America and the doctor works on your legs, what's going to happen?
I might walk.
You might walk?
Like Ella.
Like Ella? What will you do when you're walking? What would you like to do? What would you like to play?
Bicycles.
Bicycles? What else?
And a motorbike. Big motorbike.
You'd like to ride a big motorbike?
Yeah.
And would you like to play with a football?
Yeah.
What will you do with it?
Kick it with the stick.
With the foot?
The stick is there. And that's it. And that's it.
Do you want to walk?
Yeah.
Would you like to say thank you to everybody who got all the money to help you walk?
Yes.
What do you say?
Thank you.